You know, about 3 years ago, Brinker International, the parent of Chili's, was a $25 stock on the New York Stock Exchange. Now it's a $150 stock on the New York Stock Exchange. Of course, that was before Kevin Hochman came, and this is after Kevin Hochman's been there. And it's been a great run for 3 years. Kevin Hochman joins us right now, CEO of Brinker International. It's good to have you with us again.
Well, thanks for having me on the show. You probably were one of the first people to scoop us doing better. So I love the fact that you still have me on.
I think it's, I mean, but it really is remarkable. I mean, you know this business, you've been in this business forever, and it's hit and miss. And you were doing a lot of promotions. And the last time we talked, you know, there were triple dippers and three for me's and stuff like that. But keeping them coming, and that's what you have. You've really developed, and this thing has tremendous momentum. Now you're a phenomenon on TikTok. How do you do that?
Well, you know, first of all, it's a team effort. So I feel like we're working really well as a cross-functional team, meaning we've got the guys and the girls that drive all the demands of the marketers and the culinary teams, and they're working very lockstep with the folks that actually have to produce all this stuff. So whether it's supply chain or the operations group or the finance group, legal, I mean, everybody's working as a team, and we have an ultimate vision. The vision is we want to restore Chili's back to its greatness. And when we were at its best, you know, when Larry Levine and Doug, you know, Brooks kind of founded and grew the company, it was a very simple concept. It was about young families getting together, great food flying out of the kitchen with a really simple menu, tons of great vibe in the restaurants. The service was amazing. In an atmosphere that was exciting and fun and you wanted to be around. And we were at the center of pop culture. You'd see us in, you know, movies and in advertising and in the news. And you know, our teams right now, they're doing all that together. So we're, you know, we're back into being relevant again in pop culture, whether it's on TikTok or in advertising versus fast food, or our social media team's killing it, right? And then when you actually come into the restaurant, that the experience matches the world-class marketing, right? So you have a great time. The food's delicious. The service is awesome. The restaurants look a lot better. And so everything's firing on all cylinders. And it sounds simple and easy, but it's not.
Oh, no, it's not. I mean, we know that. I mean, you know, we just lately we've been watching the saga of, you know, Cracker Barrel trying to become relevant again. Everybody's focusing on their logo change. But the fact is, business wasn't very good, so they were trying to shake it up. And Red Robin's had tough times, and Hooters filed for Chapter 11, and so did TGI Fridays. I mean, a lot of good companies, a lot of high-profile companies that used to be in great demand are not making anymore. It's tough to stay relevant.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the challenges when everything changes around you is, like, how do you stay relevant? And a lot of legacy brands, and we were included in that, you know, you look to do some things that maybe are a little bit outside your comfort zone because you think you need to be something that you're not. And the reality is a brand like Chili's been around for 50 years. The reason why it's been around 50 years, there's some core things that people just love about the brand, right? And it's how do you take those things and make sure that they're still relevant for today? It doesn't mean, so like, for example, before I got here, we had launched quinoa, right? Because quinoa is this really, you know, fast growing item and, you know, people love eating quinoa and it's healthy. But that's just not Chili's, right? And it really wasn't that big of a segment. It was growing very fast, but it's not, you know, the mainstream the population. You know, Chili's is for everybody. You look at our demographics and where people live in the country. It's literally one of the only retailers out there that really represents the microcosm of America. And so we've got to operate in big segments that people are excited about, and the reasons why they go to restaurants, whether they're burgers or chicken tenders or chips and salsa or margaritas or ribs or fajitas. I mean, these are core items that people are excited about eating. And we just need to make sure that we double down on those things, made them super great so that they're really awesome at a great value, and then just execute like crazy. I think we've been able to do that. And that's how we've stayed relevant, is not trying to be something that we're not, be something that we are, but do it in a lot better way that is really competitive in the marketplace.
But you have to do it on a much grander scale. I mean, you're bigger than all those other people. You've got over 1,600 restaurants. You're in 27 different countries. I wouldn't think that the same technique works exactly the same in every part of the country.
Yeah, well, that's the beauty of it is, you know, when I worked at Procter & Gamble as a big consumer products firm. And, you know, if you're making a new toothpaste or you're making a new, you know, tube or toilet paper, it's typically one factory, maybe it's two factories, right? It's pretty easy once you get a playbook to make sure that thing's consistent every time. You know, we have 1,100 restaurants in the U.S. in Chili's, or we own 1,100. It's another 100 that are franchised, right? And each of them are like literally like a mini factory. And so it's really critically important to keep things simple, keep direction really clear, make sure the teams are properly trained. It's even more important to make sure that they have the amount of labor and the right equipment they need to do a great job. And that's really what we've been working on the last 3 years, is making the core investments in the infrastructure and in labor and in quality to make sure that they are being put in a position to win every day. And, you know, it's still a fight. I'm not going to, you know, say that every time you go to a Chili's in every restaurant, every day part, you're going to have that amazing experience. But more times than not, you are. And then we've seen that in our guest scores. Our guest scores are at record levels. And we're just going to continue to get better, continue to simplify, continue to make sure our teams have the things that they need to win with the guest. And I think if we continue to do that and continue to listen to them about what they need next, I think we're going to continue to win and we're going to continue to extend our lead.
Well, and you've got to make it through these inevitable down cycles. A lot of these restaurants have it, which is why they're struggling to get back. But, you know, you mentioned labor. I mean, labor is a constant problem. It seems like maybe even more so with a lot of the roundups of labor that are being shipped out of the country. Commodity prices are always a big variable. And people get fickle, too.
Yeah, well, these are all headwinds that everybody has to deal with. Like, it's an even playing field. So, you know, we're not the only ones that have labor challenges. We're not the only ones that have food cost inflation. Everybody has that. And it's our job as leaders is to figure out how do you take those headwinds and how do you either make them a tailwind or neutralize them so you continue to grow. I mean, that's why we have leaders, you know, in important roles, is that it's not just about showing up for work and collecting a check. We've got to figure out brilliant ways to stay competitive. And I do think the secret, one of our pieces of our secret sauce has been, we spend a lot of time in the restaurants talking to the team members that are closest to the guest. They'll tell you exactly what is going to make their life easier. They're going to tell you exactly what guests want. And then we go and make it happen. And, you know, just yesterday I was in North Texas. I was in our, we have a, basically a, what we call a scrape and rebuild, or a newly rebuilt Chili's in Arlington, right near where the stadiums are. Mm-hmm. And I had a listening session with about 25 area managers. So these are probably from a 3-hour radius in North Texas. They come in and I ask them two questions. What's one thing that you're excited about staying at Chili's? And then what's one thing, if you were me, if you were the CEO, that you'd change tomorrow? And I still do that. You know, I do this for the last 3.5 years. And I got a ton of new ideas. I was with my chief marketing officer, George Felix. And he's like, boy, we still get new ideas in every one of these, right? I was like, yeah, because the business is constantly changing. And there's constantly things that we can do to invest and make their lives easier so that they can better serve the guest. And,
but you've opened, you know, you've opened some doors that didn't used to be there. I mean, the mozzarella challenge on TikTok. You know, how long can you stretch one of your mozzarella sticks or you know, the promotion with Tecovas. I mean, I don't know. It's not going to be a big moneymaker, but talk about a high profile. You're taking your old leather seats and they're making boots out of them.
Yeah, we have a world class marketing organization. So I've known George, who I just talked about. I've known him for I think it's like 17 years. This is our fourth time that we worked together on different businesses. He's brought some of his core folks into our business, so he has a really core team of exceptional marketers. In fact, they just won Ad Age's Brand of the Year. And that's not just for restaurants. That's for every company that does marketing. They were the best of the year by the preeminent trade mag of advertising. And so that's a huge award. And these guys are very close to what pop culture is. They've really empowered their team, especially their social media team, to be able to respond and activate on behalf of the brand without a ton of bureaucratic layers. And that's having, people view us as like a normal, a normal brand. We're not this corporate brand, but we're just like you. And that's having a, huge impact on what we do. So they're doing some unexpected things like the Tecovas boots that you talked about, where we took our red booth leather and we made them into Tecovas boots. But we've also done, other things that are more down the middle, like comparing our, our quarter pound burger, comparing our big QP to the McDonald's quarter pounder. And we got 85% more beef. And when you get something at a comparable price with a lot more beef and a lot more sides to it, that's exciting value for people. And the marketers have done a great job of listening to our guests and listening to our team members and then making things happen in a big, exciting way.
Now, I mean, I can see with this sort of string coming and the successes that you've had, that it would beget even more ideas. And that's what your listening session in Arlington, I guess, proves that. So part of the job, I would think, as CEO, is you got to shoot some of these things down. They must get off the wall a little bit, won't they?
Yeah, well, you get lots of ideas. A lot of them they never show me, right? So, some of them they look at and they try to track down and they tell me that. They're like, hey, we protect you, Kevin, for some of these things. But you know, honestly, I think that's part of the game is like you got to take some swings sometimes, you know, and recognize you sometimes you're going to strike out. It's not always going to be a big win, but if you know, if you put your line in the water enough times, you're going to get the big one. And that's what I admire about that team so much is they're not afraid of failure. They want to win. And so they know that sometimes, you know, you're going to break some eggs if you want to make a great cake, and they're willing to do that. And they feel supported by our entire leadership team, you know, not just me. And so it makes them want to get after it. So when we do have failures, you know, we don't talk about it as winning and losing. We talk about winning and learning, right? So it's like as long as you can make mistakes, but as long as you learn from them and get stronger, we know that we're going to be better on the other end. And I think that our entire organization's like that. I think we're a learning organization. We're not afraid to take a few swings. And we know that some of them are not going to work, but we know a lot of them are. And that overall, over time, we're going to continue to build this brand and continue to win. And I think that's what's happening right now.
Your job is an interesting job because you've got, as I say, three major constituents. You've got your customers, who obviously you're pleasing, and because you know, traffic is way up, something like 40% over the last 3 years. You've got your employees, which are important, and they seem to be happy. And I would guess, you know, tip revenues and everything else are up. But the third are the investors. And that's a tough one. And you seem to have won over Wall Street. And Wall Street may give some lip service to a CAVA that'll come along from time to time or something. But by and large, they really don't like this sort of business, but they really like you.
Well, I don't know if it's me. I think it's the results that the team has
Well,
delivered, right? So,
the multi, you
you
know,
know,
the plural.
when I start, our earnings per share was about $3, and then we almost hit $9 this year. So 3 years later, it's three times the earnings, right? And the growth has been exceptional. I think you said 40% traffic growth. There's about 40% revenue growth, a little bit less in traffic, but still a lot of traffic growth, right? And you know, we talk about just overall growth. You were bringing up CAVA. You know, our growth last year was basically we grew a CAVA. So the entire CAVA brand is close to $1 billion, and we grew about close to $1 billion of sales. And so people don't realize that when you get a brand like Chili's, where we own our own restaurants humming, we can make a lot of money. We can win with a lot of guests, we can win with the shareholder, and we can obviously win with our team members. And the other thing I'm really proud of that we've been able to do in terms of balancing, you know, those three constituents is that we really, you know, leaned into the team members. So we've had record bonuses this year. For our restaurant managers, we gave them a one-time special bonus this year just because of their exceptional results. And then we keep improving benefits. So we lowered health care deductibles for the first time, I think, in anybody's memory around here. And, you know, we always, as we win, we're not just taking all that money and putting it to the bottom line. We're investing in the business and we're investing in people. And I think that's a part of the way you keep a sustainable growth because if only one of those three are winning, something's going to happen, right? So if only investors are winning, but our team members aren't winning, they're not going to stay with us, right? Or if the investors are winning, but the customer's not enjoying their experience, they're not going to stay with us, right? The key to having sustainable growth in this game is making sure all three of those guys are winning. And they're doing it right now, and that's why I think we have sustained growth.
You can't. You sound like you're having a lot of fun. I mean, this was a good career move. KFC and pizza could really use you right now.
Well, no comment on that, but I tell you what, I do love working at Chili's. The chili head culture, like I remember hearing the word chili head when I started. I thought it was kind of goofy. It's like chili head. And then I learned what a chili head is. A chili head is someone that loves to work hard, but they don't take their job too seriously. They love to serve others, whether it's the guest or fellow team members. And they're a little goofy. And that's kind of me, right? So I think that's one of the reasons why I love it so much is like I'm in a big corporation, but we don't really act like corporate types. We act like regular people. And I kind of think I'm that way. And so I love coming to work because I can just be myself. And it's just fun. And I hear that all the time. Like, you know, in that North Arlington session I had yesterday, you know, I had so many people come up to me and they're like, "You're just a regular person. We really appreciate you." And you know how much that makes me feel so good. Like, that's so much more important than, you know, earnings per share. So just to hear that we're changing people's lives and we're working, we're building this thing together and they feel very much a part of it. That's very important to me. And I just love coming to work because of our culture.
I know they're happy to have you, and North Texas is happy to have you down here too. Kevin Hochman, CEO of Brinker International. Good to spend some time with you again. Thank you, sir.
Hey, hopefully we'll be having the same discussion next year with even more growth.
I look forward to it. For more of our conversation, go to KRLD.com/CEO. David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.